At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is the Hemp Present Resistance. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest. Speaking flower to power for 29 years and found at hempfest.org. I also am the author of the book, Protestable, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest, also found at hempfest.org. This show is a weekly reefer radio rebellion where I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Neil LaQuia. The state legal cannabis industry now employs an estimated 240,000 Americans. While the cannabis culture is generally perceived as a largely liberal or progressive industry, like other industries in America, the cannabis industry remains somewhat dominated by straight white males and in some ways mirrors the corporate climate that America's institutions operate under. The LGBTQ community, while gaining national acceptance, requires advocacy and support in the form of safeguards, inclusion, both in mainstream society, but also in the nascent yet growing cannabis industry. And the list of issues that concern members of the LGBTQ community is long. My guest today, Neil LaQuia, is the founder of the Full Spectrum Organization, the first and only LGBTQ organization within the cannabis industry. The Full Spectrum's work focuses on building connections, volunteering, and educating businesses about diversity and inclusion. Neil is an advocate of cannabis research and has participated in multiple cannabis research studies. He is also an active member of the Cannabis Alliance, a Washington State business association. Neil has joined me today to talk about issues of advocacy for those who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender within the cannabis industry. Welcome, Neil, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here.
It's my pleasure. You are the founder of the first LGBTQ organization within the cannabis industry. Can you talk about why you thought it was important for the cannabis industry to have an organization focused on LGBTQ issues and advocacy?
Yeah, absolutely. I got in the industry and there was just a huge lack of representation. There just weren't people really like me or any organizations that supported people like me either. So I felt like I needed to take it upon myself and to develop a group, especially when I found out the rich history about how cannabis was legalized in response to the AIDS crisis in the first place.
In your words, how beneficial do you think it is for businesses to be inclusive in hiring, marketing, and managerial positions? What are the benefits that come to a business that makes the effort to be inclusive and diverse when it comes to sexual orientation and gender identity?
Oh, it's super beneficial to be diverse. And I would say it's most beneficial with innovation, retention, and profitability. So bring in new and fresh ideas to the table and creating a comfortable space for everyone to be able to thrive is really going to make your business a lot more profitable in the long run.
So it's not only the right thing to do, but it's good business?
Absolutely. It's good business. It's going to make you more profitable. It's going to make everyone more comfortable to be there. And it's going to keep your people for longer too.
So what do you think some of the things are that a business would want to make sure are included in its non-discrimination policy that might be overlooked? And what actions might be considered for when policies are violated in the workplace and somebody does violate a non-discrimination policy?
Yeah, well, if anyone violates a policy, it really depends on the severity of the crime. You really need six parts to be a really great, awesome policy for diversity and inclusion. First, clear language of what that discrimination won't be tolerated. Two, specifics about what's being prohibited. Three, penalties for violating the policy. Four, guidelines for how to file the complaint. You need five, the prompt investigation of discrimination, and six, protection against retaliation, so people can be safe to speak their mind.
Have you, in your work, Neil, heard about a lot of violations of policies in the cannabis industry? Do you think it's an issue with our industry more or less than other industries?
I have heard that being a fresh industry as it is, we're all mom and pop, we're all fresh businesses, so there's not a lot of structure that's implemented yet, and so that kind of creates a space where mischievous things could happen, and I definitely have heard of a number of things of bud tenders who have been harassed from their employers and transgender people who have been harassed by customers. So, yeah, I've definitely heard a bunch of things.
So it's not an established, you know, institutionalized industry like most industries in America by now, right? So there's a lot of businesses that haven't even really been prepared for this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of something that's been in a blind spot for a lot of people. If you have a farm that has like six employees, HR isn't going to be one of them.
right, exactly. Fascinating. You made a presentation recently to the Cannabis Alliance Industry Group where you touched on dress code policies that some businesses adopt that end up negatively reinforcing gender stereotypes. Could you talk briefly on that and what might be some dress code requirements that businesses might want to avoid and why?
Yeah, at the root of it, it's basically holding people to different standards based on their gender or their perceived gender. And not everyone looks and feels the same gender that they were assigned to at first. So some of these things would be like requiring women to wear heels, skirts, and makeup, men to not have short hair or earrings or anything like that. I think that some dress codes are fine. Like, it's beautiful if you want to have a certain kind of look or feel for your staff, but maybe consider having button-up shirts or polos or having them wear all black or something.
What are some of the things that you might want to avoid doing if you're a cisgender person or a person whose sense of personal identity and gender corresponds with their birth sex, who works with an LGBTQ person? What are the most common faux pas that cisgender people might make when interacting with an LGBTQ coworker or employee? And they might not be on purpose, but they're still going to be something's going to be offensive or hard to deal with. For an LGBTQ person?
Yeah, I think that something that a lot of people might do that is kind of cringy is just asking about body parts or sexual practices or medical information. You know, just like, I've never really asked my friends what's in their pants, and I don't ask my coworkers that either.
So maybe don't. You know, just don't even ask those questions. Let them come to you if they want to volunteer that stuff, right? I mean, just don't
throw on
those issues with your let your curiosity continue, right?
Absolutely. If someone feels comfortable in sharing that piece of their identity with you, then I would just allow it to happen when it happens. I wouldn't probe for that kind of information.
So, you know, people might not intend something to be and to make somebody uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean that that's not the situation, right? I mean, basically, this is a very intimate and private part of a person's life, right? I'm just trying to kind of tease out why it might be wrong to ask those things, because people that have been dealing with this society may have experienced a lot of negativity and a lot of judgmental stuff, right? I mean, this is a hard thing to deal with. I'm just trying to tease out for cisgender people listening why this is such an important issue, why you should respect people's boundaries.
Yeah, it's really up to that person what they want to share with the world. One thing that's been really hard for transgender people is the feeling like they need to pass, like they need to be passable, like they pass as the gender that they are trying to fulfill as. And if you're asking somebody about like all of their body parts and how many surgeries are had, did you get the surgery, which one, there are so many surgeries that could be done, but it's also like, you're not having sex with these people, so really, why is it any of your business what their genitalia looks like? If you're in a workspace, it's just not relevant.
And not appropriate.
Not appropriate.
I think the safe thing to say is that if you wouldn't ask another cisgender person that same type of question, then you shouldn't ask anybody that question, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fascinating stuff. We've got about 1 minute left. You clearly have been pioneering in a sense when it comes to placing focus on the LGBTQ people within the cannabis industry. What kind of reception have you had within the greater industry?
The reception has been amazing. It's been like people have been waiting for this to exist. I've had the honor to speak around at a lot of different things like Lemon Haze and Hemp Fest and the Cannabis Freedom March. And the Cannabis Alliance, I'm going to be doing a webinar series with them coming up pretty soon.
Awesome. I am talking to Neil LaQuia from The Full Spectrum. We're going to take a break here. Word from our sponsors and advertisers to come right back. Don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee? Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat. Fetch your earbuds and stay tuned for some pure pet care conversation.
Hi, it's Angela Ardolino with It's a Dog's Life, and I have Hernanda Umana joining me. We're just both so fascinated with how much we've learned since we've been in this pet industry and creating an all-natural product.
Because it's a dog's life.
I am a huge fan of my guest today, Dr. Bob Goldstein.
I have, in my experience, not seen many natural substances produce the results that CBD is producing in the animals that we are testing on.
It's a Dog's Life with Angela Ardolino, only on Cannabis Radio.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back with Neil Acquia. Neil, can you talk about the use of gender identity pronouns such as they and their, them? I think there's a lot of people like myself that want to address people correctly, but just might not feel confident about how to use those pronouns.
Yeah, pronouns are a super sensitive topic. Just think about any time you misgender somebody's dog. So some people feel that their gender may be somewhere between male and female. They might feel that they have no gender at all. Some people might feel like their gender is flexible, which I've felt myself and as well. But it's really up to that individual person how they want to be addressed. I'd say if you messed up or if you don't know somebody's pronoun, just ask them and apologize and try to do better in the future.
You know, maybe just to explain to them that you want to be able to refer to them correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of respect, and even though it's going to be an uncomfortable and awkward thing to ask somebody, I assume they would rather have you ask them the uncomfortable question than have be even more uncomfortable by referring to them in the wrong term.
Yeah, it's better to just ask. People are going to be open to explaining and expressing how they feel to you. It's better than just assuming.
If a cannabis business wanted to focus on or increase inclusivity in their business, what steps do you think they might take in order to achieve that goal? What would they want to do or change in their practices to reach more inclusivity?
Well, they can set and enforce those discrimination policies that we talked about earlier. It's not enough to just create the policy, but you have to enforce it as well. But also providing gender-neutral restrooms, offering inclusive benefits, putting together educational workshops, just using your platform to spread support and your social media, fundraising and volunteering with community organizations, and really, lastly, examining their hiring strategies.
Is there anything that has really surprised you since you've taken on this work? Is there anything that you really didn't expect that has changed your thinking since you started working on these issues within the cannabis industry?
I used to think that having HR was the most important thing that the business needed to be like the most successful diversity and inclusion friendly welcome environment possible. But I've also found that if the owner's complicit in making that space uncomfortable, then it can get a little trickier. So I would say document everything, take screenshots and keep notes.
Are there any LGBTQ owned cannabis businesses that you're aware of in Western Washington?
We have Cannabis Basics, which is owned by a lesbian, as well as Always Greener, the pot shop in Redmond.
Okay, so and so that's not a very big percentage out of quite a lot of businesses. So there's some serious room for growth there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's not a whole lot of brands or businesses or people who are working within the industry at all, but there's not a lot of license holders who are LGBTQ in the industry at this point in time.
And that's probably very disproportionate from other business models, really. I mean, when you think about it, we hear a lot about racial and gender equity within the industry regarding hiring and placement and managerial positions and even ownership. But we don't really hear a lot about LGBTQ equity in cannabis. Do you think that that's changing at all, or is that part of your mission?
That is my mission full force. We are trying to create a more inclusive, inviting space for everyone to be able to thrive. I think that it's okay for some people to be able to do well right now, but I don't think that it is the most welcoming place for everyone at this point in time. We still have room for growth. Mm-hmm.
Dominic Holden, Dale Rogers, Dr. Francis Podrabarek, and George Bacon from Seattle Gay News, who recently passed away. They were all prominent members of the gay community here in Seattle who were also pioneering medical cannabis and reform leaders. And I think that that's probably true in most communities because of the HIV/AIDS connection to medical cannabis. A lot of those folks were the pioneers, as you mentioned earlier, pioneers of the medical marijuana movement. Have you heard from any of the folks from those early days of cannabis reform efforts here in the Pacific Northwest community? Have any of those folks touched base with you on your work?
Well, George Bacon, who you just mentioned, I knew for about 12 years before he passed. But also, after getting to get a little bit more involved in this research and this history and really coming to understand the AIDS epidemic, I recently was put in touch with somebody who used to drive AIDS patients from the hospital to the cannabis club. Yeah, I thought it was extraordinary.
Do you think there's any similarities between the gay rights movement and the cannabis reform movement? I mean, there's some vague overlaps and parallels, but it seems to me like they are both dealing with deficiencies, structural deficiencies in our societal outlook and the way that people are treated differently. Do you think that there's any parallels there?
Oh, yeah. I feel like the trajectory has been very similar with the two. I feel like there's a ton of parallels between the two causes. We've had two groups of individuals who have been misunderstood, who have been rallied against, who have been just trying to survive and exist and live our lives in peace. But there's been a lot of hostility and a lot of anger from a lot of people who just don't really understand that both the queer community deserves to exist and as well as the cannabis community.
Yeah, because in both cases, the only victims are the people from those communities that are being victimized and dehumanized, right, and targeted and profiled.
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes down. It really comes down to, you know, what we're all fighting for. All of us is a just, equitable society for everybody, and to be left alone, be able to live our lives, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Neil Acquia from the Full Spectrum. We're going to take another break and come back with our final segment. So don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
My guests say Razzie Berry. We're talking about nature, naturopathic medicine, as well as the concept of prevention and preventing disease.
Empower people to live a naturopathic lifestyle. Get to know your body, understand its rhythms, remove toxins, and use natural alternatives whenever possible. 90 to 95% of cancers are due to environment and lifestyle risk factors. I mean, that's a huge number. That means that cancer is preventable.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line. Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we are back with Neil Acquia from the Full Spectrum. Neil, how can people find out more about the Full Spectrum? Are you a volunteer organization? Are there opportunities for people to get involved, maybe get something like that going in their town? And is there anything else that you'd like to add while we still have a few minutes?
Yeah, our organization basically is made up of members that are involved in the cannabis industry or support the cannabis industry becoming more diverse and inclusive. We are all over the country. There are members that are in other states. You can follow us on Facebook at thefullspectrum.org or on Instagram at the.full.spectrum.
In this work that you've been doing, do you find that businesses want to be inclusive and want to be respectful? Is this something that they have a desire to do, but they're just either not on their radar or they don't know really how to approach it?
Yeah, a lot of people are just really excited to get a hold of this information and see how they can do better. I know some people have come to me saying that they've had some issues in their own businesses and they're trying to figure out how to solve them. So I've definitely had that interaction, that response.
Would you be interested in people in other communities contacting you to get something like this going in their community?
Absolutely.
How would they go about that?
The Full Spectrum Cannabis at gmail.com.
Excellent. And is it a nonprofit organization or what's the structure?
We are on our way to becoming a full-fledged 501c3 at the moment.
Excellent. Excellent. Do you take contributions? How do you fund the organization?
We are not taking any funds at the moment until we have our 501c3.
Got it.
So very soon, I would love.
You're out of pocket.
Very soon, I would love to take. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm assuming that there's just like a lot of people that are really going to support your work. This is really a critical thing that needs to be addressed within the cannabis industry. You know, there's a saying that I've heard for a long time, maybe not so much lately as much as I used to, that the cannabis movement was mostly old white guys with beards and little ponytails. and some women have talked about, you know, the grass ceiling, which is the cannabis industry's version of the glass ceiling. Because, you know, there are like institutionalized societal issues that we have that we struggle with that seem to be rampant and extend to every industry. And the cannabis industry has not been really all that different. Like I said in my intro, that there's a perception that, you know, that the cannabis industry is a progressive, you know, liberal thing. But in reality, I found out that there are actually people from all walks of life and all political beliefs within the cannabis industry. And there's even some homophobia and misogyny and racism in the cannabis industry. Fortunately, it's not mm-hmm. real bad, but it's there and that needs to be dealt with. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I have experienced some of that myself in the industry as well. I've heard AIDS jokes and 9/11 jokes and all sorts of things that I just don't feel is acceptable. And I don't feel like language like that is really inviting or makes people like myself want to stay in the industry or feel included in the industry.
Well, Neil, it's great to have you on the show, man. I appreciate it. And thank you for all the great work you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Now I'm going to get to a weekly feature Hemp Present, and that's the quote of the week. The LGBTQ community out in California were the first main activists pushing for medical marijuana laws, and that is HIV and cannabis activist Khadija Tribble. That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on CannabisRadio.com. I want to thank Brasco, my man, their control room, and all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more Reefer Repartee and Cannabis Confabulation with some special Hempo Sapien on a journey to justice as we silence the violence, increase the peace, and promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you have the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Until then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, and take it easy. The Hemp Present theme song, Take Back the Plants, performed by Stickerbush and sung by a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro. I'm out.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.